Welcome to The Drip, brought to you by GlideTech. Today, we're looking at the data behind the hidden numbers behind glycemic care in the hospital. And I want you to imagine a scenario right out of a hospital administrator's absolute worst nightmare.
Oh, the kind that definitely keeps you up at night.
Yeah, exactly. A jury hands down a $140 million verdict against the health system. And the cause wasn't, you know, a botched neurosurgery or some massive institutional cover-up.
It was a routine math error. Just simple human math.
Right. A patient needed 8 units of insulin. A tired clinician manually calculated the dose and gave 80 units instead. A 10-fold overdose, resulting in a completely preventable death.
Yeah, it is a truly devastating reality check for anyone in clinical leadership right now. We've spent the past week diving into a massive stack of sources to understand, you know, how this happens and how to stop it.
And we have some really heavy-hitting data to pull from for this deep dive.
We do. We are pulling from clinical white papers published by GlideTech, the official 2026 regulatory dockets from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and frontline case studies from major health systems like Sentara Healthcare and Kauai Delta.
Our mission for this deep dive is to really synthesize all of those sources specifically for you. You know, the hospital executive, the chief medical officer, the CFO, or the chief nursing officer.
Right, because you are steering your organization through an incredibly complex landscape right now.
Exactly. And there's a massive regulatory shift heading straight for your desk. CMS is officially adding inpatient glycemic control to its hospital inpatient quality reporting program.
It's a huge deal.
It is. We need to unpack why glycemic management has instantly escalated from, well, a peripheral clinical concern into a total boardroom imperative.
Yeah. And to understand the gravity of that shift, let's look at the specific trigger CMS just pulled. Because starting in the 2026 reporting period, your hospital will be mandated to track and report 2 brand new electronic clinical quality measures, or ECQMs.
Right. And the first measure is severe hypoglycemia.
Exactly. This tracks the percentage of patient stays where someone's blood sugar plummets below 40 milligrams per deciliter within 24 hours of receiving a diabetes-related medication.
And 40 is dangerously low. Right?
Oh, it's critical. That is the threshold where the brain is literally starving for fuel. It leads to seizures, comas, or worse.
And then CMS is balancing that out with a second metric.
Correct. The second ECQM is severe hyperglycemia. This one tracks the percentage of patient days where a patient's blood sugar spikes above 300 milligrams per deciliter.
Wow, okay.
And what is really interesting about the reporting rule here is that CMS actually excludes the first 24 hours of the hospital stay.
Oh, why is that?
Well, they acknowledge that a patient might come into the emergency department already in a state of crisis, but, you know, they are holding the hospital strictly accountable for what happens on day 2, day 3, and beyond once that patient is admitted.
So you have a 24-hour grace period, basically. Let's translate those clinical metrics into the executive stakes, because these ECQMs are not just, you know, observational data points going into a filing cabinet.
Not at all. They have real teeth.
They really do. They are going to directly impact your fiscal year 2028 payments. If your hospital fails to accurately track, report, and eventually control these measures, well, you forfeit the full 2.6% annual reimbursement increase under Medicare.
Ouch. Yeah, that's massive.
It's financially crippling. For a hospital operating on razor-thin margins today, losing a 2.6% bump on your Medicare population is a total disaster.
It changes the entire conversation. But to really grasp why CMS is forcing this issue, we have to look past the federal mandates and understand the sheer scale of the clinical crisis occurring inside your walls.
The numbers are just staggering.
They really are. The data shows that 1 in 4 patients admitted to a hospital has a known diagnosis of diabetes. That is 25% of your total census right off the bat.
That is a massive operational footprint for any facility.
And it gets more complicated. Of those diabetic patients, 30% require 2 to 3 hospitalizations per year. These are your frequent flyers.
Right. They're constantly coming back.
Exactly. Their baseline health is fragile, and their glycemic management is notoriously difficult. But, you know, the risk pool isn't limited to patients who already have diabetes. You also have patients developing what we call stress-induced hyperglycemia.
Yeah, I've seen that term in the white papers, but walk us through the actual biology there. I mean, why would a patient without diabetes suddenly have blood sugar issues just because they're in the hospital?
Well, it comes down to the body's innate fight or flight response. When a patient undergoes major physical trauma, say, a complex bypass surgery or a severe infection, their body is under immense physiological stress.
Which makes sense.
Right. And in response, the adrenal glands flood the system with cortisol and adrenaline. Those stress hormones trigger the liver to dump its stored glucose into the bloodstream to provide, like, emergency energy to fight the trauma.
Wow. So their body is just flooding itself with sugar.
Oh, exactly. So even if the patient has a perfectly functioning pancreas, their system gets completely overwhelmed by this sudden glucose dump, causing massive blood sugar spikes.
And that's before you even factor in medications, right?
Right. Add in common hospital medications like steroids, which also elevate blood sugar, and you have a recipe for severe hyperglycemia in patients who have never taken insulin in their lives.
Okay, so the volume of patients experiencing these wild blood sugar swings is huge. But high volume alone doesn't trigger a $140 million lawsuit. It's the clinical variation in how hospitals treat that volume that turns dangerous.
Lethally dangerous, honestly. We can look at the case study from Centaur Healthcare. They audited their own internal data and discovered two patient deaths specifically linked to prolonged hypoglycemia.
Two preventable deaths.
Yes. Two lives lost, not to the disease that brought them to the hospital, but to adverse drug events that the hospital leadership rightly identified as completely preventable.
And the Baldwin County, Alabama lawsuit we mentioned earlier, you know, the 8 units versus 80 units, that is the ultimate manifestation of this.
It absolutely is. When you rely on tired human beings to do complex math at 2 a.m, clinical variation is just inevitable.
So let me stop you there because I want to ask the question every CFO or IT director is going to ask when they hear this. We just spent hundreds of millions of dollars upgrading to modern electronic medical records, like Epic or Cerner.
Right, the EMR question.
Yeah, if the problem is manual calculation errors by tired humans, why can't we just hard code a strict rule into the EMR? Or simply mandate better training? Why is that not enough?
Let's take those one at a time, starting with training. Because the Centaur case study actually details their attempt to do exactly that.
They tried to train their way out of it.
They did. In 2008 and 2009, they launched a massive system-wide education campaign. They tried to train the clinical variation right out of their staff. They focused heavily on standardizing their sliding scale insulin protocols.
Okay, for the administrators listening who haven't started an IV lately, define what sliding scale insulin actually means in practice.
Sliding scale is an incredibly outdated, reactive approach to managing blood sugar. It works like this. A nurse checks a patient's blood sugar, sees that it is high, and looks at a static chart to find out how much insulin to give to bring it down.
So they're just chasing the number.
Exactly. You are constantly chasing the glucose. You are reacting to what already happened instead of anticipating what the patient's body is going to do next. It almost guarantees that the patient's blood sugar will look like a roller coaster.
So Centaur tries to train everyone on how to use this reactive system better. Did it work?
Initially, yeah, they saw a slight improvement. But a hospital is a dynamic, chaotic environment. You have staff turnover, you have travel nurses coming in who are trained on entirely different protocols.
And just general human fatigue.
Right. By 2012, Centaur's hyper and hypoglycemia rates had climbed right back up to their baseline pre-2008 levels. You simply cannot outtrain human fatigue and turnover.
Which brings me back to my confusion about the technology side. If humans are fatigued, why not let the EMR do the math?
Because a standard EMR protocol is static, while the human body is incredibly dynamic. Centaur tried the EMR route next, actually.
They did?
Yes. They used their internal IT resources to build a homegrown weight-based insulin protocol directly into their system. But, you know, relying on a hard-coded EMR rule for insulin is a bit like printing out a paper map from MapQuest back in 2005.
Huh. The old MapQuest printouts.
Right. The paper map tells you the theoretical route. But what happens if there's a sudden roadblock or a massive traffic jam? You are flying blind.
That is a phenomenal way to picture it.
Clinicians dealing with insulin don't need a paper map. They need a dynamic GPS that recalculates the route in real time based on changing conditions.
So if a patient's blood glucose unexpectedly drops because they stopped eating, or if their insulin sensitivity changes from morning to evening, a static EMR calculator cannot see that nuance.
Exactly. It doesn't learn the patient's specific metabolic rate over time. It just blindly follows the hard-coded rule. Centaur's leadership realized this homegrown system still left their staff vulnerable to medical errors, and the risk was just too high.
Well, if the static EMR is failing the patient, what does that failure actually look like on the floor for the nursing staff? Because when these systems fall short, the burden doesn't fall on the IT department.
No, it falls squarely on the shoulders of the floor nurse.
Exactly. So what is that burden?
Think about the nursing cognitive load required to manage an IV insulin drip the traditional way. It is relentless. It requires the nurse to perform hourly fingerstick blood draws.
Every single hour.
Yes. Then they have to reference paper charts or clunky EMR tables. They do manual math in their heads or on a scratch pad to figure out the dose adjustment. Then they have to call the pharmacy to verify.
Wow, that's a lot of steps.
And it doesn't stop there. If the number is outside a certain range, they have to page the attending physician for approval to change the drip rate. All of this happens while they're managing 4 or 5 other high acuity patients.
Which is a perfect recipe for the exact math errors that cause 80 units to be given instead of 8.
Precisely. The operational transformation happens when a hospital removes that cognitive burden by adopting a dedicated electronic glycemic management system, or EGMS, like GluCommander.
And how is that different from the EMR?
Unlike a static EMR, an EGMS is an FDA-cleared software that uses a proactive algorithm. It actually learns the individual patient's insulin sensitivity and calculates the exact dose required to get them into a safe target range and keep them there.
Oh, so it functions as a GPS, recalculating the route based on real-time blood sugar inputs.
Precisely. And the time and motion studies included in our source material reveal just how much time this gives back to the nursing staff.
Let's hear the numbers.
Okay. When using a non-integrated traditional system, the average time it takes a nurse to start a patient on an IV insulin drip is 247 seconds. When hospitals integrate an EGMS directly into their workflow, that startup time drops to just 52 seconds.
Wait, 247 down to 52?
Yep. That is a 79% reduction in administrative task time just to start the medication.
That is huge.
Yeah.
And the cumulative time savings across an entire shift is even more impressive. I saw the data shows an integrated EGMS saves up to 72 minutes per nurse, per patient, per shift.
72 minutes.
Let's pause and really internalize that number. 72 minutes. That is the difference between a floor nurse actually getting to sit down for a meal break versus eating a granola bar over a trash can while doing mental math on an insulin dose.
It radically changes the workflow and nurse satisfaction.
From an administrative perspective, reclaiming over an hour of skilled nursing time per shift is a staggering operational efficiency.
It really is. But I know you've been crunching the financial numbers from these case studies. How does that reclaimed time and reduction in clinical errors translate into actual hospital-wide ROI? We know the human cost of poor glycemic care, but what is the financial cost?
Well, the financial cost is brutal. Let's break down the two extremes, starting with severe hypoglycemia, when blood sugar drops below 40. According to the data, a single severe hypoglycemic event adds an average of $10,405 to that patient's encounter.
That is a massive hit. Walk us through where that $10,000 is actually going.
It goes to the cascade of emergency interventions required to literally save the patient. It covers the rapid response team activation, the crash cart, the emergency administration of 5-E dextrose to force their blood sugar back up, extended vital sign monitoring, and very often an unplanned transfer into the intensive care unit.
Which is incredibly expensive.
Exactly. All of those resources are incredibly expensive, and none of them are reimbursable because they are considered preventable complications.
And the other end of the spectrum, severe hyperglycemia, has its own set of massive costs.
It does. Having blood sugars persistently over 300 practically doubles the average length of stay for a patient. We are talking about adding up to 9 extra days in the hospital for a patient experiencing new, unmanaged hyperglycemia.
9 extra days.
Plus, uncontrolled blood sugar drives 30-day readmission rates through the roof. The data shows readmission rates spike up to 30.6% for patients with unrecognized diabetes.
Which means they bounce right back into the emergency department a week after discharge.
Right. And under value-based care, the hospital eats the cost of that readmission.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the math scales favorably when you implement the right technology.
Tell me about the savings.
So the source material outlines the projected savings for a standard 200-bed hospital that adopts an algorithmic EGMS. The projected annual savings is $696,792.
Almost $750,000 for a relatively small community hospital?
Exactly.
How exactly are those savings bucketed?
It breaks down into 3 very tangible operational categories. First, $595,602 comes directly from avoiding 203 severe hypoglycemia events. You simply aren't spending money on rapid response teams and crash carts.
Right, avoiding the cascade.
Second, another $85,800 is saved by opening up 156 ICU bed days. By avoiding those emergency transfers, you free up critical care beds for incoming trauma or surgical patients, which obviously improves your overall hospital throughput and revenue generation.
That makes total sense. And the third bucket.
Finally, $15,390 is saved simply by reducing the sheer volume of point-of-care blood glucose tests required. Because the EGMS gets patients into their safe target range faster and keeps them stable, well, nurses don't have to prick their fingers as often.
And when you look at the larger health systems in our sources, those savings scale exponentially. Take the Kauai Delta case study. They are a 610-bed medical center in California.
Right, a much larger facility.
Yeah, and they realized they had a severe clinical variation problem. By completely transitioning away from those outdated sliding scale protocols and implementing an EGMS, they achieved phenomenal results.
The financial turnaround there is just incredible. They realized $7.1 million in total annualized savings.
And the clinical outcomes drove every penny of that. $2.5 million came from length of stay reductions, basically getting patients healthier and discharged faster.
And the rest.
The remaining $4.5 million came purely from hypoglycemic event savings. They essentially eliminated those $10,000 emergency cascades we just talked about.
So looking at this from a pure business perspective, adopting this algorithmic technology is not a clinical nice to have. It is an absolute financial must have to protect your operating margins.
Definitely. So if we synthesize all of this, the biology of stress-induced hyperglycemia, the failure of static EMR maps, the 72 minutes of reclaimed nursing time, and the millions in ROI, what is the real so what for the hospital administrator?
As they look at their strategic plan.
Right. Yeah, as they look at their strategic plan for the next 12 to 24 months, what do they need to understand about this CMS mandate?
The critical, so what's is that the financial threats extend far beyond the direct costs of longer stays or the 2.6% IQR payment update. There are massive compounding federal penalties lurking in the background.
You're talking about the HAC reduction program.
Exactly. Specifically, the hospital acquired condition, or HAC reduction program. Under the HAC program, CMS penalizes the bottom 25% of hospitals nationwide with an automatic 1% reduction in all Medicare fee-for-service payments.
And glycemic care is a direct pipeline into those HAC penalties. Let's connect the clinical dots there because hyperglycemia is a primary risk factor for hospital-acquired infections, specifically surgical site infections, or SSI, and catheter-associated urinary tract infections, or CAUT.
Oh, interesting. Why is that?
Well, the biological mechanism is pretty straightforward. When a patient's blood sugar is wildly out of control, the excess glucose literally feeds bacterial growth. At the same time, high glucose levels impair the function of white blood cells, basically crippling the patient's immune system.
Oh, wow. So a patient comes in for a routine knee replacement, their blood sugar spikes due to surgical stress, their immune system tanks, and suddenly they develop a severe surgical site infection.
Exactly, which then triggers a massive HAC penalty for the hospital. Poor glycemic outcomes don't just exist in a vacuum. They drag down your overall safety metrics and can easily force your hospital into that penalized bottom quartile.
That is terrifying for a quality director.
It is. But clinical leaders need to be extremely careful about how they try to solve this because there is a very common, very dangerous trap. We call it whack-a-mole management.
What does whack-a-mole management look like on a hospital floor?
It happens when hospital leadership gets terrified by the cost and legal danger of hypoglycemia. They see a $140 million lawsuit in the news, and their knee-jerk reaction is to pull back on insulin dosing across the entire hospital to ensure nobody's blood sugar drops too low.
So they just underdose everyone to be safe.
Right. But when you mandate a reduction in insulin to eliminate hypoglycemia, you inadvertently cause severe hyperglycemia to spike. You whack one mole and the other pops up.
And then the infections start.
Exactly. Blood sugars soar over 300, wound healing completely stops, infection rates climb, and length of stay doubles.
And if you swing the pendulum back the other way and flood patients with insulin to stop the infections, the hypoglycemia rates spike back up.
Precisely. The human brain simply cannot balance those two extremes consistently across hundreds of patients. That is exactly why the new CMS mandate is designed the way it is.
Oh, that makes perfect sense.
By forcing hospitals to report on both severe hypoglycemia and severe hyperglycemia simultaneously, CMS is outlawing the whack-a-mole approach. You have to safely navigate the narrow clinical channel between those two extremes, and the only way to do that scale is with a dynamic algorithmic approach.
Which leads us to the most actionable takeaway for anyone in hospital leadership listening today. You have a window of opportunity right now. CMS has opened a voluntary reporting period for these two ECQMs.
Which is huge.
Right. You can self-select to start reporting today to see where your baseline metrics actually are. But if you sit on your hands and wait until the mandatory 2026 period to start figuring out your data capture, your nursing workflows, and your technology infrastructure, you're playing a very dangerous game of catch-up.
You really are. You cannot implement a system-wide software integration and change the fundamental nursing workflows of a 1,000-bed hospital overnight.
You certainly cannot. Adopting an FDA-cleared, protocol-driven EGMS technology is no longer a niche safety initiative championed by a couple of passionate endocrinologists in your facility.
No, it's far beyond that now.
It is a strict administrative necessity. You need this infrastructure to protect your Medicare reimbursement, to defend against catastrophic liability, and frankly, to survive the industry-wide shift to value-based care.
Absolutely. Because in a value-based care model, the hospital absorbs the entire cost of clinical complications. You are no longer paid for the extra 9 days a patient stays in a bed because their blood sugar wasn't managed properly.
It completely flips the financial incentive structure.
It really does.
And, you know, as we wrap up our deep dive into these sources, I want to leave you with one final provocative thought to mull over. We've spent a lot of time talking about CMS penalties, internal ROI, and back office financial mechanics. But soon, your glucometrics data will not just be a private conversation between your quality department and the federal government.
Oh, that's right. The public data.
Exactly. This data is going to be public. It will be published on Medicare's Care Compare website and integrated into LeapFrog hospital safety scorecards.
Yeah.
Think about the implications of that radical transparency. Anyone with a smartphone will be able to look up your facility.
Everyone is going to see it.
How will public knowledge regarding your hospital's severe hypoglycemia rates, you know, the specific percentage of patients who experience life-threatening blood sugar drops under your care, how will that change the way you are perceived?
It's a brand issue now.
It is. How will it change the way local employers choose their network providers? How will health plans view your brand in your local market? The hidden numbers behind inpatient glycemic care are about to be put on a digital billboard for everyone to see. The only question left is, are you ready for what your numbers will say?
Thanks for joining us today on The Drip, a Glytech podcast production. For the full white papers and case studies discussed today, visit glytech.com.